Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Another special episode for you. No guest this week, but we are reviewing the US trials. Dan, obviously, this is a massive, massive meet. I don't think us Brits can truly comprehend the size of it until maybe one day we get invited there. But in terms of leading up to the Olympics, this is the biggest meet, basically, to pay attention to.
I agree with you. Yes. I mean, I'd love to go to Omaha. I mean, we saw on Twitter the building of the pool, the filling of the water into the pool, the massive, it's only in America that you see the massive scoreboards on the ceiling. You see it in like the basketball and stuff. I'd love to go to a meet, and it's a proper big deal over there. The fireworks on the side, the atmosphere must be absolutely crazy. I'd love to go.
So what we're going to do for this podcast is very much like the Aussie trials. We're going to pick out some of the best swims. We're going to give you some names to pay attention to, with Tokyo obviously in mind, with it being 4 or 5 weeks away. I think we're going to look at a few guys who are in direct competition with a few of the best British swimmers. I think we're going to have a look at those as well. And yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of names missing out that people in Britain may only know these names. They may not know the ones who are coming through.
I think, honestly, that's the biggest talking point to take away from this trials. Of course, you've had the major superstars. They've turned up. They've done their bit. They've qualified for Tokyo. But actually, there's some names that I'm sure a lot of people will be like, oh, wow, they haven't made it. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. But with so much to talk about, this could go on for a long time, this one.
Yeah. So let's start at the best bit. And it's not, again, like Aussie trials, it's not in the pool. It's the meet itself. We said Omaha is a big deal. I really want to get an American swimmer on to speak about the romance of Omaha. I know that sounds all fruity and lovey-dovey, but actually, when you see the photos from the pool and the atmosphere there, it's like no other swimming event ever that I've ever seen. It's raucous. It's so loud. It's so much pressure. And if anything, I said to you before we started recording, this is arguably bigger than the Olympics, this competition.
Yeah, I think Cody Miller has said it a few times on his YouTube channel, saying that actually the pressure is for the trials, and then it kind of gets more relaxed at Tokyo, or gets more relaxed at the Olympics, because you know you've done it, you've done the pressure bit. It's now just about, I don't know, relaxing and performing on the biggest stage. Like I said at the very beginning, I'd love to just go just for one night and just see what it's like. God, I mean, if only it would be like that in this country, how good would it be? Oh, man, it'd be so good to go to.
Now, let's get into the swimming. We've spoken about the background and everything like that. If anyone from the UK isn't aware of it, go search, go have a look, because it's wild.
Yes.
The first thing I want to bring up is something we talked about a little bit at Glasgow and then a little bit at Aussie trials. Was swimmers swimming slower in finals? Now, it's not necessarily a worry. It's something you see quite a lot at Olympics, given the pressure. But we saw a lot of this meet. We saw a lot of finals slower than semifinals. And like I said, I think it's pretty much down to the pressure of the meet.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you look at most Olympic finals and the finals are historically slower than the semifinals. Like, for example, Dressel broke the world record in the semifinal at Worlds. PC broke the world record in the semifinal at Worlds. And then they go slower, only like a little bit, but not by much, but they do go slower in the final. And I think it's not about the time in the final. It's just about winning, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. Of course, in the semifinals, it is about the time, because it's the top eight that make it to the final. So I think, yeah, there's a bit of pressure. And we were talking about it at Glasgow, weren't we, saying that it was almost like the main focus for the British swimmers to get quicker through the rounds. That's what we were looking for as well, let alone, you know, the coaches on poolside. I'm going to put it down to the pressure. I mean, it's a big meet, like we've already said. But the big guys did their jobs, I would say.
Yeah. So let's start with one of the biggest names to come out of US trials. We've been keeping an eye on him for years. I tipped him for this trials to have a big breakout. I still, before the meet was slightly unconvinced what his event was going to be. Mm. And he's gone and qualified for three very different events, which just shows his versatility. And if you don't know who we're talking about, it's Michael Andrew. He qualified for the 100 meters breaststroke, the 200 IM, and the 50 freestyle, which is a wild program to be swimming.
I mean, it's a wild, varied mixture, isn't it? I mean, how many good 100 meter breaststrokers are actually out and out 50 meter freestylers? Not many. I mean, he came first in the 100 breaststroke, second in the 50 to Dressel. And of course, the 200 iron, which is probably the biggest talking point.
Shall we get to that? Let's talk about the 100 breaststroke first, because he went a 58.1 in the heats and semi-final, went a bit slower in the final, like we discussed. We're not going to break that down too much anymore. But he's now a medal contender. I think he's got a 57 in him come Tokyo. So it's kind of another one to add to the PT and the Kaminga.
I would agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. I actually do believe he goes 57 point when Tokyo comes around. And then if that's a case, if he does go 57 point, I would say he's on the podium for that. If you're going to say PT wins and then Kaminga gets second, or it's basically going to be a dogfight for that silver medal, for... yeah, for that race. But that's actually a really good swim. American records, of course. I can't remember. Is he now the third fastest? He must be the third fastest ever to do the event.
So a few kind of pointers in terms of British swimming to take away from the 100 breaststroke from Michael Andrew. I think that 100 breaststroke is bad for British swimming in two ways. One, it's going to be hard now to see James Wilby get onto that podium, as realistic as I'm being. I'm not saying it's impossible. Wilby always turns up for finals, and the fact that Andrew hasn't at US trials, let's say, is a big feather in his cap. And I'm sure training with PT, he's got all the confidence in the world. And then the 4x100 medley. Now, we've always said the big advantage British swimmen have over America is the fact that America never had a breaststroker. They have one now. I know it's not PT world, but they have one. And the difference between Ryan Murphy and our backstroker and Andrew and PT...
It is a bit of a shame. It's a shame on a British point of view, like you're saying. I think America do go as favourites for that relay now, because Ryan Murphy, we're going to get onto Ryan Murphy. He did a pretty good 100-metre backstroke this meet. And then you've got Michael Andrew doing a very good 100 breaststroke. Then you've just had Dressel do a very good 100 fly, and you think, oh, it might all be won by that point. But you never know. I mean, we're going to make the final. Anything can happen in a final. DQs could happen. I don't want anything. Don't want people to get DQ'd, but you know, these things can happen. I still think we're definitely going to get on the podium. I think we get silver. I think they're a little bit too far ahead now, America, just because of Michael Andrew on that breaststroke leg, unfortunately.
Now, he also did a pretty impressive 50 freestyle. He went a 21.4, so there's all the chance in the world he could podium there. You got a lane, you got a chance. We'll get into Dressel's time a little bit later on. But the 200 IM, like you said earlier, let's break this down, because he's now number one in the world.
He is.
And there's a lot to improve on, but also a lot to like. It's a weird one. It's a weird one. Yeah. For the first 150, it's incredible. I've never seen someone take out a 200 IM as brutally fast as he did. I mean, to put it into perspective, his fly split to start with was a 23.7, which is approaching a 50 point for a 100 meter fly to lead off a 200 IM. That's fast. His backstroke leg, he went a 29.2. Okay, not setting the world alight. Breaststroke split a 32.1, which is good.
Setting the world alight, yeah.
Yeah. So at that turn, he was almost a second and a half under Lochte's incredible world record of 1:54. And then he brings it back in a 29.9, which is bang average.
Oh, I'd probably say it's less than average, if I'm going to be honest with you. I remember watching the race, actually, literally before we started recording, and Phelps was on the comms, and he was watching it. It was like, he was almost speechless by that first 50-meter split. Who goes 23.7 at the start of a 200 IM? I mean, the 100 flyers are doing well if they do that sort of split. And you just knew they were sort of saying before they even dived in, you've got to take it quite steady because you need to save your legs for the pressure can front crawl leg at the end. He went out 23-7, held it on the backstroke leg, which is, you know, 29 points is a pretty average sort of time, or the standard time. The breaststroke split was absolutely phenomenal. And in that 29-9, I mean, it hurt big time. You could see the stroke was shortening.
Very short.
I actually think he took a breath on the final stroke into the wall, which is how much he was dying. But interesting swim.
I know we say it's our bang average freestyle split, but all year, I've actually been watching Michael Andrews 200 IMs all year. So all year, he has been really struggling with that freestyle leg, no matter how easy he takes it out, to get it below a 29 or a 30, no matter what he does before. So I think he's just turned into the tactic of, you know what, I'm going to go hell for leather to the 150 and hang on for dear life. Because that's clearly, from watching all of trials and what he's done, I think that's the only way he can do it because of the training program he's on, which is that ultra short race pace training. So,
yeah, well, that's another sort of side of it, because you look at Phelps and he says, actually, that's a training error. I mean, you can't be a good 200 IMer if you're just going to do 15 meter, 25 meter sprints the whole time in training. I can completely see where he's coming from, because his mentality is that to be a good 200 meter swimmer, you've got to train as a 400 meter swimmer. And if you want to be a good 50 meter swimmer, you've got to train as 100. Basically, you're over distancing yourself in training. And of course, with Michael Andrew, he is effectively under distancing himself every time in training, because it's all fast twitch for him, which kind of surprises me, the reason how he's so good at 200 IM, if that's the type of training he does. But he's so good at every single stroke. It's a very interesting swim. So his final time in the final was 155.4, which is, like you said, the leading time in the world right now. And he has to go in favorite for the 200 IM.
I mean, in the semi-final, he went a 155.2, which is 0.7 faster than Duncan Scott's gone, which is a distance. That's a fair distance.
It is.
The only thing I'm going to say in terms of British swimming is Duncan Scott loves chasing people down, and he's a 200 freestyler. He swims the 400 every now and again. He's got that back end speed. So what's going to be really, really fun to watch is that last 50 and him charging, because Michael Andrews is going to be dying.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the clear tactic for Duncan. If you're on Michael Andrews' hip and you turn on the breaststroke to front crawl turn,
oh, to be Duncan's honest, hip is going to be some time though.
Well, yeah, that'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? But that's the tactic, is what I'm trying to say, is that if you're in within distance of Michael Andrew on that turn, then you know you're going to get him. It's just about how fast you want to take it out and how much you're going to have left on that final 50 meters. So it's going to be a fascinating race either way, because you know he's going to fade away. But unless he changes his tactic, but I don't think he will now.
No, I don't think he does. But either way, I am glad Michael Andrew has found some Olympic events for him to race and race them at high, high quality. And it's going to be entertaining. What more can you ask for from a swimming race?
I know.
I think the other thing to take away from this 200 IM, Lochte unfortunately missed out on the Olympic team at the age of 36, 26, almost. It's a shame. It's not a big surprise, if I'm perfectly honest. 36 and the races he races, you don't really see many old guys racing them. They're usually just the 50s that they carry on to that sort of age. It's a shame not to have him at the Olympics. I'm not sure if it's the end of him yet. I'm not that one.
Did you see the interview that he did at the end? Very emotional, because it was kind of like the journalists were asking him questions as though this was the end, but he didn't want to call it the end because he enjoys swimming so much. And the swimmers, I think it was another press conference. I think it was with Michael Andrew and Ryan Murphy, and they were saying how much of a role model Lochte is. And it kind of like started tearing Lochte up a bit. Really quite an emotional interview, actually. But big shame.
Big stalwart of the sport. He's second most successful swimmer ever, in my opinion, behind Phelps. I know that you've got Spitz and people like that, but if Phelps wasn't around, Lochte would have won multiple Olympic golds all over the place. Okay, so that's one person done. I'm not sure how long we've been going for, but that's one person done. Shall we talk about a big name on the women's side who looks likely to break a world record? There's several that we could talk about. Lily King.
Yep.
Where do we start? If anyone has watched Cody Miller's vlogs recently, she appears in them quite regularly. They're training partners.
Yep.
the impression you get is that she's trained straight through this meet because she's training by herself. She's not tapered down with Cody. So the fact that she's gone a 104.79 to me shows a world record's coming.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I'm pretty sure that she wouldn't have tapered at all for this meet. Mm. And to go a 64 point for 100 breaststroke untapered, blimey, are we looking at a 63 in Tokyo? I'm going to say yes. Honestly, I do. Ooh. I think she goes to world record. And with doing that, she then defends her title, which the Olympic title for women's 100 breaststroke has never been defended before. So it's going to be a lot of that. History. A lot of history being broken if she were to do it, of course. Mm. But I can't look past her at the moment. Is there anyone else in the world? You might have some Italian breaststrokers. I might put a hand up.
They've not gone 64, though.
No, they haven't got. They've gone 65, but I think King goes 63. And she just looks good. And it wasn't just the 100 breaststroke, actually, that surprised me. Mm. It was the 200. I mean, I knew she could do it because of ISL and et cetera, et cetera. But she's just gone a 221.7.
Well, she's never overly performed in the 200 breaststroke long course. So I think she's really struggled to make it out of semifinals at major meets at it. But yeah. Like you said, she's gone a 221. That makes the final. Might not quite be on the podium, but I didn't expect that from her.
Well, if she's untapered like we think she is, she's got the potential to go 220, and then it's in podium range, definitely. I mean, we like to think that Molly Renshaw is potentially favourite or the South African favourite to win the 200 breaststroke. But if she's going to knock out a 220, she's put her hand right up and said, actually, hang on, I have a great chance of winning gold or definitely a medal anyway. And actually, she didn't win the race at US Trials. It was Annie Laser. And that's a pretty good story going behind that. Because I think one of her family members died some months ago, maybe a year ago now. And I think Lily King promised her family that she would push Annie Laser all the way to get through to the Olympics or qualify for the Olympics. Yeah. And that's pretty much what sport's all about, isn't it? It's about the support, the friendship, pushing each other to get better every day. So that was a really nice story. And again, if we're talking about Lily King to be on the podium potentially for 200 breaststroke, Annie Laser has to be as well, doesn't she? So, yeah.
So, I mean, Lily King's probably one of the strongest performers at trials. And I mean, we were speaking beforehand. You think that she is very much at her peak at these Olympics and could be doing something very, very special. She's definitely a name to keep an eye on in Tokyo.
Yes. Yeah.
Next person to keep an eye on who swam well in terms of world rankings, in terms of himself, I think there's a lot more to come. Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, we're very much in two minds here. You think he did very much average. And I agree with you.
I say average. Look at the times.
Well, average is a bit of a... what kind of word is it? The wrong word? Let's just use the wrong word. Because 154.2 for a 200 backstroke, that's quicker than Luke Greenbank did at Europeans. And we were pretty stoked about that time from Luke Greenbank. So we can't be like... Actually, that's a bang average time. It's not. It's a very good time. And then is it the world leading time for 200 backstroke? I can't remember, actually. But it's there or thereabouts anyway.
Yeah.
I was quite happy with his 200 backstroke. It was like, that's a decent time for him. But the 100 backstroke, I was impressed with. 52.2, he went in the semi and a 52.3 in the final. Pretty much the same sort of time. As far as I remember, that is the world leading time for men's 100 backstroke.
It is. So, his PB, he's still PB plus, 0.5? I don't know. I'm just not sure if that world record's going, because you look at his form from Rio, and from trials to Rio, he didn't overly change much. He didn't improve that massively. But, you know, his 5 years down the line, maybe he's figured out trials quite comfortably now. He went slower in the final, like a lot of the swimmers. Maybe there's a lot more to come. Maybe there are world records to come. I just thought he'd go into the Olympics with no doors ajar. And I think there's open doors for people to beat him.
Well, I was going to say the biggest takeaway is actually he was pushed all the way in each race, because USA are known for pretty strong backstrokers, aren't they? And he's stopped them from coming through, effectively. He's still the man to beat. We said that.
Oh, yeah.
For ages ago now, because he's obviously looking to defend his titles, both the 100 and the 200. For me, I think he does do it in the 100. I think the 200 is up for grabs.
Mm. I think maybe I'm being harsh on the 100, but the two, definitely Ryloff for me is still
still
in my eyes the slight favorite.
Yes, yeah.
Right, should we get on to superstar Reagan Smith?
Well, this is a massive talking point. This is a massive talking point. Let's go with positives first, shall we? So, of course, it's her first Olympics. She's 19 years old. I mean, if you're 19 years old and you're going to your first Olympics, you're going to be absolutely beaming with joy, aren't you?
Yeah.
She's qualified in the 100 backstroke and the 200 fly, showing her versatility like we've always said. Let's go with the 100 backstroke. So she went 57.9 in a semi, 58.3 in a final. So again, this is like a similarity.
A recurring pattern. We won't.
Yeah. We won't go on about it again anymore. Yeah. But 57.9, that's it's a pretty good swim, really. Five weeks out from Tokyo. You kind of expect that to come down to the world record. I suppose we put so much pressure on her because Kaylee McEwen has just gone the world record. And you think, oh, there's a little bit of...
It was a few days before.
Yes. So you would have thought that would have inspired her. I'm sure it did, but it just didn't quite happen for her. But still qualified for the Olympics. I mean, that doesn't matter at the trials. So you're got to do it at the Olympics, haven't you? 200 fly was interesting. Came second behind Hayley Flickener. And Flickener looked good, by the way, who's got a great chance of winning gold now.
Mm.
But the biggest talking point was the 200 backstroke.
Yeah, so she's a world record holder. She's gone a 203, which is miles ahead of everyone else, country miles. Mm. And she missed it.
Yeah.
When you're the world record holder, maybe it's a bit of naivety playing into it because she is only 19 years old. There's a lot of pressure when you're world record holder to make the team, and it's always competitive. Now, her time wasn't dreadful. A 206.7 would make any other Olympic team around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is you're a world record holder who's gone 203. So PB plus three at Olympic trials, which is close to Tokyo, not great.
Yeah, and it's very similar to the Ryan Murphy thing where I was saying where American backstroke is the best in the world. Mm, and
really good.
If she hasn't tapered for this, I question the training because you can't just assume, yes, okay, she's miles ahead of everyone else, not just in the country, but the world.
Mm.
Was she complacent? I don't know. Was it the extra pressure? Did the extra year not help? There's so many questions, but ultimately it's a massive shame because we tooted a horn and we just thought it was an automatic world record. That's the way we thought of it. It's a huge disappointment, I suppose.
I don't know. Maybe she wins gold in the 100 back. Maybe not because Kelly McEwen's on fire. She came out of nowhere to smash both of those world records previously. Yeah. Maybe we're just expecting slightly too much for a young head.
Mm. Yeah, I'm like I said at the very beginning, she's 19 years old.
Mm.
It's a very difficult situation. I mean, a lot of the swimmers have said, and we're going to get onto Simone Manuel, which is a big talking point as well, that the extra year training hasn't helped. It's more of the mental side that they've got to try and almost reset themselves again to go another year to try and be at their very best. I don't know if that's a big issue for Reagan being so young, but yeah, it's a really interesting one. And now in my head, there's only one swimmer to win Olympic gold now for that 200 backstroke, and that's Kaylee McEwen.
It's done.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was really looking forward to that. Was one of my big races I was really looking forward to was Reagan Smith versus Kaylee McEwen, and it's not going to happen. It's such a shame, but what can you do? That's the nature of trials, isn't it?
That's
the nature of trials. It's very cutthroat. So yeah.
I mean, in reality, I do think we're just being slightly too harsh on Reagan Smith. I think there's a big future to come. I think the 100 back, the battle with Kaylee McEwen, still on. I think it's going to be exciting. It's advantage to Kaylee McEwen right now. It's a huge disappointment to miss the 200 back. Bit unexpected, but I just think we're being slightly too harsh on a young head who had, you would have thought she had a lot of pressure going into this week. So while we're talking about swimmers who didn't make maybe the team as expected, I think we need to talk about a few names who missed out on spots. A few, I call them brand names. So over here in the UK, because of ISL and because of the recent Olympics, these are names that you guys should all know and be made aware of, but they missed. It's quite shocking, and it kind of shows this new era of American swimming that's going to become upon us in Tokyo, I would have thought.
Yeah, changing of the guard.
Yeah. So if we go through the names who unfortunately missed out So we've already spoken about Ryan Lochte. Wasn't too much of a surprise, but sad to see him not make the team. Smoliga, who was a big star at ISL, she didn't qualify for the 100 back, which I kind of expected her to be the name behind Reagan Smith.
Yep.
She didn't qualify for the individual 100 free, which she had a shot with. She was fastest going into the final. She does make a relay, but I guess that just shows the depth that American swimming have.
Yep.
Nathan Adrian, Matt Grievers, Anthony Irving, these are all big known names. They've all missed out. They were close. Nathan Adrian got the closest in the 50 free. He just got touched out. It was hard to see because I love Nathan Adrian, but those three guys, along with Lochte, it kind of, like I said, shows a changing of the guard. Ryan Held missed out in the 100 freestyle. He was second favorite in my eyes behind Dressel. Bit of a surprise. Blake was only going for a relay. I mean, actually, yeah, Ryan Held didn't even make the relay.
Yeah, that was the big shock, wasn't it? Seeing as though he was odds on, or not odds on, but one of the favorites to go for the individual and to not even make a relay spot. That just shows the pressure, doesn't it? That's trials for you.
It does. No Carson Foster, no Will Licon, no Kevin Cordes, no Cody Miller. It, like, these are names that have been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, as someone who doesn't take a massive deep dive into USA swimming, it's a little bit of a shock for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's still more names that we've missed out. We'll mention them later on. Kathleen Baker was one, but apparently she broke her foot. So there's a slight, not excuse, but, you know, there's a reason for her not performing. Yeah, I think with the older guys, like you say, Lochte, Adrian and Grievers, they are at the tail end of their career. So it is the changing of the guard. So it's not too much of a surprise. Maybe Nathan Adrian had a great chance, which he showed. He came third in the 53, but didn't make the 100 freestyle final. Matt Grievers, still capable, came sixth in 100 backstroke. So these guys aren't going slow.
Well, Matt Grievers, I believe, is still declared for ISL next year. So he's still racing.
Still going. Yeah, absolutely still going. We spoke about Ryan Howard. Blake Peroni, I thought he was going to be going for the 200 free or even the 100 free, but nope, just for a relay. I mean, that's... Some of the names are mind-boggling. And I suppose one of the biggest ones was Simone Manuel not going for the 100 freestyle to defend her title, but she is going for the 50 freestyle.
I'm glad she got there for the 50. It's quite a sad story for the 100 free. I don't think she even made the final, did she?
For the 100 free? No.
No, she didn't. She's had a tough year of training. If you listen to the interview she did, she was suffering from something called overtraining syndrome. So it's basically an increased heart rate, finding things quite hard. It's almost a little bit like depression as well at times. So she opened up about it. She didn't use it as an excuse. She just used it almost like an explanation. And sometimes these things are needed when it is such a shock. But she's still on the team on the 53, I think. Well deserved. It sounds like she's been through a hell of a year. Before we get on to back to the positives, because there's tons more to speak about. Some ISL names who missed out, who we've been tooting the horn for a very long time.
I know.
No Margalis for Abby Wood to deal with in both, or the 200 IM for Abby Wood, but she also didn't get in on the 400 IM. I thought she was a shoo-in.
Yeah.
Coleman Stewart was a guy who looked like he was coming through. He looked really good at ISL. He looked like he might start challenging Ryan Murphy at the 100 back. Didn't happen for him. Kelsey Dahlia, Beda Nelson, Maxime Rooney, Molly Hannes, Emily Escobedo. There's names galore here who we have suddenly become accustomed to because of ISL. And I think maybe that's just skewing our judgment of how good they are.
Yeah, I mean, with ISL, of course, it's short course. And if you actually look at all of those names there, their underwaters are pretty good. And so I wonder if those are short course swimmers more so than long course swimmers, especially Coleman Stewart. I was a big fan of Coleman Stewart at ISL, and I thought this is the next best thing. He's going to be maybe potentially better than Ryan Murphy with the underwaters and the technique that he's got. Really shocked by him not going. I suppose Margalis is probably just as big a shock because we thought, well, if Abby is going to win a medal, you're going to have to beat Margalis, and she's not even there now. So you think, oh, hey, up, that's great news, I suppose. But, you know, really unfortunate that she doesn't make the team. I'm just going to repeat all the names you said. But this, very, very interesting. And I just wonder the transition from, let's say, 25-yard pools, going up to 50 meter long course pools, whether that's a big impact or not.
I want to get on an American who, because they race it very late up in the season, the NCAAs, they race short course yards the whole year. And then you transition to 50 meters.
Yeah.
And now me and you, we trained short course for pretty much our whole career up until you went to seniors. And when you race long course, it's tough. But these guys are, they're not 16, they're not 14-year-olds, they're experienced heads. I mean, maybe we're making excuses, but or maybe we need to get someone on to explain to us just quite how hard that transition is. We'll do some hunting for some good podcast guests.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the list of names, I mean, we must have listed about 10, 15 names here. And yet the American team is still going to be very good, you know? So I suppose it bodes well for the next 3 years when trials come around again to see if these guys can actually get their spot for Paris, because I assume Ryan Lochte, Nathan Adrian, Matt Grievers, Anthony Irvine, they're not going to be there because...
I'd be surprised.
They're at the end of their careers. But for these guys, they're in their early 20s or maybe even younger. They should be putting their hand up for the position.
What this does do is back up our kind of speech beforehand. When we previewed this podcast, is American trials are tough. This is probably the hardest, the best, the biggest swimming competition in the world. You've got those star-studded names who are not on the team.
Yep.
Anywhere else in the world, you put all of those into British trials, they probably all go.
Yeah.
That's just how competitive American trials is. So before we get on to the big brand names to finish, we'll talk a little bit about Ledecky and Dressel. Why don't you run through some other standout performances and people who made the team, maybe unexpectedly, but definitely deserved to make the team on the back of Omaha?
Yeah, well, let's start with Rianne White. She qualified for both the 200 and the 100 backstroke and actually goes in third fastest in the world for the 200 backstroke. So actually, she's almost taking the place of Reagan Smith. So she might actually... caused Kaylee McEwen a couple of problems there. You had Kieran Smith qualifying at 200 and hit a PB in the 400 as well. So we're going to see him in both of those events.
I want to talk about that. Wait. I want to talk about that. The 200 free in America should be stronger.
I agree with you. Yeah. And actually, we were saying on the Aussie trials, weren't we, that actually these times should be quicker than what they are. I think maybe because we watched the 200 free at British trials and we were like, oh my, what, awesome. Absolutely awesome. And you kind of expect it from the powerhouses of America and Oz. Yeah, very strange. I mean, the winning time, I can't remember what it is. Top of my head, it was like 1:45 mid or something like that. And, you know, Duncan and Tom are going a second quicker than that. Same with the Aussie trials. It was mid 1:45. I think, blimey, hey, I do believe Duncan's got a great chance.
Don't get me wrong. Their 4x2 relays are going to be right up there. There's a lot of depth. But the top guy is not what it used to be.
You've gone from Phelps, who did a 1:43 around that sort of region. And then suddenly, and of course, Lochte was doing similar times as well. And now you've gone right the way back up to 1:45. And you think, oh, that void hasn't quite been filled. But yeah, that was really quite interesting. So Kieran Smith hopefully will fill that void, I suppose.
We'll see.
We will see.
Go on, more standouts.
Hayley Flickener, American record in the 200 fly. She's also qualified in the 400 IM. I think that was pretty much a shoe-in, I would have said, for her. Abby Weitzel, excellent swim at trials. Both qualified in the 100 and the 53. And this was a really good swim. I don't know if you saw this, but Tori Husk, American record in 100 fly, 55.6. Fantastic swim from her. Yeah,
came out of nowhere. I know maybe people in America are aware of her, but I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, well, that's one of the ones coming through. And with a time like that, she's going to pose a real threat for that podium. So watch out for her. Other names, Nick Fink qualified for his first Olympics in the 200 breaststroke. Chase Callis qualified for the 200 and 400 IM. Tom Shields, again, qualifies for the 100 fly, not for the 200 fly, which he was pretty good at 200 fly at ISL. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. But
and that might be that change from short course to long course that we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. And he's very good at underwaters as well, isn't he, Tom Shields? So, but he qualifies for the 100 with Dressel. And then one big name going to her fourth Olympics is Alison Schmidt. She doesn't just qualify for the relay as well, but she qualifies for the individual 200. I mean, that's a fantastic swim from her.
She's almost had a second career. She's had a second wave when I don't know how old she is now, but She was swimming with Phelps. They're like best buddies. Yeah. They're both Baltimore natives. So the fact that she's still going, and like you said, she qualified within her own right. And she was underrated at ISL last year. I actually thought she was really, she was a standout 200 freestyler. She didn't win because Siobhan Haughey obviously took all the plaudits. She's undefeated. Mm. But Alison Smith's kind of a quiet name to keep an eye on. I think she's an experienced head who might go quite well at Tokyo.
She kind of reminds me of two different strokes, but it's a, she reminds me of Emily Sebum, where qualifying for the fourth Olympics, they're in their late 20s, early 30s. I actually don't know how old Schmitz is, but she's going to be around that sort of region anyway. Mm. And you just know she's going to perform. That's what she does. She's going to be potentially on the podium or thereabouts. Although the 200 free is extremely stacked on the women's side right now, so she'd be doing extremely well to make a podium there. But you never know. I think she's good enough to make a final. And then, like I've always said, if you've got a lane, you've got a chance. So, congratulations to her. Fourth Olympics. I mean, that's good going, especially when you're a swimmer as well. Because it's grueling, the training.
So shall we finish off this podcast kind of reviewing US trials and the big name swimmers, basically, just for the Brits to pay attention to, rather than going in depth of every single race? We could be here all night.
Yep.
Should we finish with the two biggest, Ledecky and Dressel? So do you want to start with Ledecky?
Let's go with Ledecky, yes. My biggest takeaway was that she is clearly untapered.
Mm.
Absolutely no rest whatsoever. She has trained through, I mean, the times, I think, pretty much show that. Still managed to win by quite some distance in those events as well, which just shows how good she is. If I go through it really quickly, 200 free, 155.1, 400 free, 401.2, 800, 814.6, and then she also did the 1500, 15.40.
Which was an hour after the 200 free final.
I mean, you kind of have to say that, which just shows how good she is at that distance. And of course, because the 800 is the first time, the 1500 is the first time it's going to be at the Olympics for a female, isn't it? So she's going to, I assume she's going to win. I can't think of anyone else who's going to cause her a problem in the 1500. So she's going to be the first female 1500 Olympic gold medalist, I would have thought. I mean, Madeline Goff at the Aussie Trials went 15:45, I think, but I think... Yeah, I think she was more tapered than Ledecky. I mean, she looked heavy. I don't know if you saw that last 25 meters of 200. It looked pretty heavy.
I was going to say, through the whole meet, it almost like, to me, it looked like she was just racing one pace the whole meet and that was it.
Yeah, it seemed that way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The technique is so strong. It looks like the stroke tempo has increased, which is frightening to think about with the distance events. I mean, I've kind of said that the world records for potentially all four of those races could go. And it's not just going to be Ledecky. You've got to talk about Titmus as well.
Yeah, this was my main takeaway, is Ledecky is clear head and shoulders favorite for the 15, the 8.
Mm.
I think it's slightly more competitive than she's ever been used to at the 4.
Yes.
Because Titmus laid down a wild time and she is underdog for the 2.
Yes. Well, she was never really, she shouldn't really be winning the 200 free with the likes of Pellegrini flying around, but she's obviously that good that she's able to swim that time and be world champion, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, my biggest race leading up to Tokyo was the women's 200 backstroke with Reagan and Kaylee. My biggest race now is the 400 free, Ledecky and Titmus.
Okay.
It's a coin flip. I don't know who's going to win that. It's one of the two, because no one else has been under 358, let alone 357. So those girls are miles ahead of the rest of the world. I mean, that's going to be one hell of a head-to-head, that one. The 8 and the 15, it's all hers. But quick shout-out, actually, to Katie Grimes, who, aged 15, will be the youngest member of Team USA for the swimming in the 800. Fantastic. It's kind of like...
it's Ledecky repeated.
It is. It's like, history repeats itself. Yeah, fantastic swim from her. I mean, that's going to be... a wealth of experience that she gains from that.
Yeah, either way, Ledecky, expect some medals, expect multiple golds. She's a star. She's not exactly dropped off the pace at all. Nope. It's whether she beats her own world records and how many races she does it in, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm glad there's competition down a little bit lower at the races. And I think Titmus might be there or thereabouts on the 800 as well. She might build a bit of confidence and maybe challenge Ledecky. We will see.
We'll find out. Yeah.
So one place and one place only to finish. Caleb Dressel. Now, I don't like getting too excited about him because the times that he's beating or trying to beat the world records he's trying to get in the 100 free and the 50 free are fast and they are in super suits. There's a reason they haven't gone because they're impossibly hard to break.
Yeah.
Both of them are going in Tokyo.
Oh, that is bold. Now, I've always said the second or third episode we ever did. I've always said Dressel is breaking that 50 freestyle world record. So
I've always been on the fence and away with it. I'm like, no, there's no way no one can beat that without a super suit. So if anyone isn't aware, you don't know what time he went. He went a 21.04, which equaled his PB. It's still kind of in season for him. Let's be honest, his trials, yes, he's swimming fast, but that's good. It's just a tiny bit good.
I mean, it's not bad, is it? It's not bad. But I've always thought that he's going to break that world record because you can't have the best start in the world that we've ever seen, ever, and not break that 50-meter freestyle world record. I think it goes, the 100 is a slightly different matter for me. I don't know if he gets that world record in the 100 free. He went, he did it actually, he swam it really well. He went 48.2 in the heat, 47.7 in the semi, and then 47.3. In the final. So he went quicker through the rounds. But that's still some distance off that world record. I know he's gone a 46.4, his PB or lifetime best. It's a big ask. I mean,
The issue I've got is I'm going to stop sitting on the fence with him now. I'm all in. Yeah. He blew me away these trials. And you know what? The 50 on the last day was just mind-boggling to go that fast. But the one that stood out before that was the 100 fly.
Do you know what my biggest takeaway? My biggest takeaway is that, you know, at the ISL, where it's like a six-week, almost intensive racing, he gets better every week, doesn't he?
And it seems his training now should just be racing.
Yeah, I mean, towards the meet, the end of the meet, is when he swims his best time. So it's almost like you need to race more to get better performances out of him. Interesting. I mean, he's just a phenomenon, isn't he? He's just a world superstar. How many golds does he get? How many races does he enter? Because he swam the 200 free in the heats as well. So I'm assuming he's looking for a 4x200 heat swim, maybe even a final swim. I'm not so sure.
So he went a 146.6, which might just make that team. Not quite sure.
Yeah, we didn't actually check that because we were just talking about his 50s and 100s, weren't we? But the 100 fly, that world record's going. He's now got the top four fastest times ever. Boy, I mean, he's a bit good. He's a bit special, isn't he?
I'm just excited to see him race.
So am I.
I'm getting ahead of myself. I fully admit that.
Oh, he's so exciting. We need him in the sport because every time he stands on a block, you think, God, his start's going to be so good. And he gets in the water, does the underwater. He's miles ahead after 50 meters. Then he starts his technique. You think, oh, that technique's pretty good as well. And then you look at the clock after he finishes. You think, oh my God, I've just seen one of the best ones ever.
That's the thing. It doesn't seem that fast when you're watching him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You're watching him, you're just like, oh, whoa, okay. Because the first heat swim of the 100 fly, he was definitely easy speed the whole race, and he went a 50.1.
How mental is that?
What on incredible. Earth?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people on social media saying, hang on, he's just gone 50.1 easy speed, and you think he could knock off 2 seconds there, one or, you know, just over a second there. It's a 48 on the horizon. I think that's slightly pushing it, but definitely a 49 low. Absolutely, I think he's going to do that. I'm just super excited for just to watch him swim. He's just
bring on Tokyo.
He's just amazing.
Oh, I mean, we're going to talk about him a lot more when we do our full preview of Tokyo. We go day by day, event by event. We'll be really in depth then, but he's a superstar. It's what swimming needs. Now Phelps is gone, suddenly another American's picked up the baton, and because it's shorter distances, in my eyes he's even more exciting. But that's just the sprinter in me. So that's American trials. That's the names you need to pay attention to, some names who unfortunately missed, who are a little bit surprising, and then a quick run through of the newcomers or the standout other swims. What do we take away from American trials?
There's quite a few things, actually. I think there was the end of an era for quite a few of these swimmers now, like the Nathan Adrians, the Ryan Lochtes, the Matt Grievers, Anthony Irvins. I think it's the end of the road for them, and they should retire pretty happy for what they've achieved, actually, ready for the young blood to come through. My biggest thing is just it's how hard are trials? How hard are they? I mean, if you can get through trials, that's the reason why they perform at Olympics, because the pressure that they face at trials, if they can face that pressure, come through it, then Tokyo, or not Tokyo, but Olympics, wherever it is, seems like a breeze. And that's probably the reason why they put so much pressure on it, so that they can perform on the biggest stage of all. That's my biggest takeaway. I don't know about you.
Mine is the big guys look strong. The big guys. So your Dressels, your Murphys, your Lily Kings, your Michael Ledecky. Andrew, he's a big guy now, Ledecky. They look really good. They look world-class. They look ahead of the field as expected. Like we said, world records are going to fall in Tokyo. I'm almost surprised none of them fell at trials, slightly.
Yeah, well, they were close. They were close. I mean, Dressel was very close. Because I've always said that Americans get their training cycle absolutely correct. And so if they're going their best times at trials, then something's gone slightly wrong somewhere, because in 4 or 5 weeks' time, that's when they should be hitting their times. I'm kind of excited for Lily King. Honestly, I think that she's going to swim the best times ever. I think she's going to be at her absolute peak, and it's not downhill from here. I suppose if you look at a graph, it might go downhill from here, but she's going to be at that very pinnacle this Olympics. And it wouldn't surprise me if she breaks a world record and goes 63 for 100 breaststroke.
Awesome. So that rounds up the last of our trials reviews ahead of Tokyo. From now on, it is going to be interviews with British swimmers leading up to it, and then just us previewing the races itself.
Pretty much, yeah. We do have, hopefully we've got a guest lined up next week, but before we do that, we've got an interesting podcast where we're going to make up our own ISL team with the draft.
We are.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to do. That should be out on Saturday, hopefully, if we get things lined up properly. And until then, I hope everyone has enjoyed this kind of quick fire, loose breakdown of American trials. Like we said, we always like to keep things quite relaxed on here, not too formal, but we've given you guys names to pay attention to.
It's just going to be so exciting for Tokyo now. The build up is basically complete now. We're just sort of waiting. We're biting the bits, ready to go, aren't we? So yeah, it's going to be really good.
Awesome. So if you have enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or subscribe to us on YouTube or any other of your podcast providing platforms. We are everywhere. Just search the Propulsion Swimming Podcast and you'll find us. From myself, Scott, it's been a pleasure to cover all of the trials, and I just can't wait for Tokyo to come now. And we will see you guys at the weekend.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us, guys, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.